Tommy, as I was telling you earlier, Billy Graham had Bev. That's what he called George Beverly Shea. Now, I think of that Ralph Carmichael. Was that the? And he's the one that Billy Graham. I don't know how well he sang, but I know how poorly I sing. So, Tommy, thank you for being my partner all these years, helping us make a joyful sound instead of my jailhouse singing, because, you know, I'm always behind a few bars. So, okay. If you take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And I'll be reading verses 13 through 41. And out of Reverend Scott, please stand as this word is read. Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. But John left them and went back to Jerusalem. They continued their journey from Perga and reached Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, you can speak." Paul stood up and motioned with his hand and said, "Fellow Israelites, you and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our ancestors, made the people prosper during their stay in the land of Egypt, and led them out of it with a mighty arm. And for about 40 years he put up with them in the wilderness. And after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. This all took about 450 years. After this, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. After removing him, he raised up David as their king and testified about him, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, to be a man after my own heart, who will carry out all my will.' From this man's descendants, as he promised, God brought to Israel the Savior, Jesus. Before his coming to public attention, John had previously proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. Now, as John was completing his mission, he said, 'Who do you think I am? I am not the one, but one is coming after me, and I am not worthy to untie the sandals of his feet.' Brothers and sisters, children of Abraham's race, and those among you who fear God, it is to us that the word of this salvation has been sent. Since the residents of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize him or the sayings of the prophets that are read every Sabbath, they have fulfilled their words by condemning him. Though they found no ground for the death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him killed. When they had carried out all that had been written about him, they took him down from the tree and put him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And he appeared for many days to those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we ourselves proclaim to you the good news of the promise that we have made to our ancestors. Or that was made to our ancestors. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.' As to his raising him from the dead, never to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, 'I will give you the holy and sure promises of David.' Therefore, he also says in another passage, 'You will not let your Holy One see decay.' For David, after seeing God's purpose in his own generation, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and decayed. But the one God raised up did not decay. Therefore, let it be known to you, brothers and sisters, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is being proclaimed to you. Everyone who believes is justified through him, from everything that you could not be justified from through the law of Moses. So beware of what is said in the prophets does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, marvel and vanish, because I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will never believe, even if someone were to explain it to you. You may be seated. If you get fingerprint on your glasses, it's always in your line of vision. It's never off to the side. Okay. Much better. Okay. Now, I'll be referring to this little map that's back in the back if you want to use it. You don't have to have it, but it's found it's helpful instead of going, and Jerusalem's here, and Antioch's here, and Cyprus is over here. So I'm sort of doing gymnastics with that, or keeping my motion going. Well, Wednesday night, we were looking at the situation in the church in Antioch. This is Antioch north of Jerusalem, Antioch in Syria. We're going to see another Antioch a little bit later. But Paul, Barnabas, if you look at verse 1 of chapter 13, Simeon, who was also called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. They were the preachers and teachers there in that growing church, the third largest city in the Roman world. And the church was growing. This was a place that they were first called Christians. And while this growing church is growing, God says, you know, I want to take two of your leaders. I got another plan for them. They prayed, fasted, and sent out Saul and Barnabas. God said, I got a plan for them. Yeah, did I get my fingerprints on your glasses too? Yeah. Okay, you know, just, yeah. I'm sorry if I got it on anybody else's glasses. It's my fault. Sometimes we don't see too clearly, but they saw clearly in Antioch. They didn't say, but Saul's one of our best teachers. And Barnabas, he's the one that encourages everybody. They're great leaders. We can't lose them. No, they said, God says he's got a place for them to go. We're not going to keep them here. The thing is, sometimes we as Christians think, God's just called us to sit in the church. But as we depart from here, he is sending us out to different places because he has a mission for us. Now, my mission is going to be with little four-year-olds this year and their parents. I had meet the teacher yesterday. One of the fathers was one of my students at Conroe High School. So I'm teaching the kids of kids I taught. So it's a neat thing there. And he still said he's going to let his son come to my class. So that's good. You know, sometimes you want, I had you as a teacher. I know. But there are some things going to be a little bit different in pre-K than were in high school. And we're going to see that in our situation here. Saul had been a student of Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers in Jerusalem. He was still worldwide known as, you want to hear a good lesson, listen to Gamaliel. It's like if you have your favorite teacher on the radio you like to listen to, he said, you got to hear what so-and-so said. And there are people that can twist a phrase in such a way that it just means so much more. It gets through. That's one of the things I had to learn as a young preacher. As I got older, people said, you know, I just heard preacher so-and-so say such and such. Now, it's the same thing I've been teaching for years, and I have to learn. That's great. Not just say, that's what I've been saying for the past 5 years. Now, It's important people get the message. And some people can say it better than others. Paul even commented about Apollos. Apollos is like a much better speaker. Now, Paul, he could take from a whole bunch of different things that Apollos couldn't do and lay the foundation. We're going to see that. Well, God says Barnabas and Saul, who's going to later be known as Paul. Matter of fact, in verse 9 of chapter 13, last time he's referred to as Saul, except when he's telling about what happened in the past. And he takes the name Paul, which is kind of interesting because Paul is the Latin name for shorty. So shorty's going to go around proclaiming the gospel. Now, not shorty like my stepmom's dad. He was about 6'5", and they gave him the name Shorty. I don't think Paul was very tall, but we'll wait till we get to heaven, and then who knows? We might all be the same height in heaven. God's got it figured out. Well, so Barnabas and Paul go on this missionary journey, and they sail to the island of Cyprus. If you look at map 2, it says they go from Antioch and then to Seleucia. Seleucia is the coastal town, and get the boat and go over to Salamis in Cyprus. And they go to the synagogue, they preach the good news all the way to Paphos, so all the way across the island of Cyprus. And there they meet this false prophet named Bar-Jesus. Bar means son of. Jesus is salvation. So the guy's known as son of salvation. Paul and Barnabas are explaining the truth to Sergius Paulus, another short guy, and telling him, and Sergius Paulus is wanting to hear, but son of salvation is trying to prevent the words of salvation from being heard by Sergius Paulus. So Paul turns to Bar Jesus, son of salvation, and said, "You're a son of the devil, and you're not going to see the sun for many days." Now think about this. Somebody that is partially blind can at least see the sun. Remember when Jesus did the two-part healing? He says, "I see people walking around like trees." Well, son of salvation, who is actually a son of the devil, he's not even be able to see the sun. So that's totally blind. You can't even just see shapes running around. It's total blackness. And Sergius Paulus says, "I will accept and believe in the Lord, not because of son of salvation being blind, but because of the truth you presented." The obstacle had been removed. We are going to face obstacles when we try to proclaim the truth. There are always people that try to put obstacles in the way of truth. Charles Darwin presented a theory that everything started from nothing and slowly changed over time. But even he, in his book, Origins of the Species, said, if you could ever show that things couldn't happen over small incremental change, then my theory falls apart. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created. He made everything. But people try to put that obstacle of, no, it just happened by random chance over billions of years. An obstacle to the truth. We need to know the truth. Now, God has no reason to lie to us. God spoke, it happened. But some people try to reconcile it. Well, it had to take millions of years. No, it didn't. God said, in 6 days. And if you're confused about that, he added, and there was morning and evening the first day. Now, if you go with billions of years, that means there's a billion-year morning, a billion-year evening. So, you know, it was going to be real messed up. Well, God created everything His way. But there are people who try to put obstacles. Well, Jesus offers forgiveness of sin, but my sin is too bad. There's no sin too bad. That's an obstacle some people try to make. I'm too old to make a decision. They're too young to make a decision. These are obstacles people put it. If people understand they've been forgiven of their sins and salvation is in Jesus alone, that's what it takes. There are people that put obstacles. Now, Paul leaves Cyprus, and if you look at map 3, you see Cyprus just there in the corner. And if you go sort of make a line north by northwest, you get just before that little crook in the land, straight down from Pisidian Antioch, is a city of Perga. Now, there's nothing there left except ruins of the city. It used to be the port city, but the river filled in. Now it's way inland. I had the opportunity when I was part of Hayes Gray Cruise Lines to visit Perga. It's in modern-day Turkey. And see the place, the ruins of the place. It was a magnificent city. They've uncovered the bath houses. So it's just, think about this. In a time when a lot of the world didn't have indoor plumbing, they had places where you could bathe inside. And there was wonderful plumbing system all throughout the whole city that they've uncovered and traced out. It was an amazing metropolis. They also found a place that they believe was one of the first churches in Perga. We don't hear about Paul founding a church in Perga, but there is evidence of a church there around that time. Now, if you go straight up from Perga, you see Pisidian Antioch. That's different from the Antioch that you see in map 2. This is Antioch near Pisidia. To confuse it, there are a lot of cities the same name in the U.S. There are at least 13 cities named Barrett. Now, I had at one time wanted to visit all of them and have my picture taken right beside the sign Barrett. There's even a Barrett, Texas, not too far from here. But there's only one city called Metropolis. I did find that out. And that's in the southern tip of Illinois, and they have the Superman statue right down front of Town Hall because it's Metropolis. But there's no big buildings. But Paul and Barnabas are going to go up to Pisidian Antioch. Now, it's a very mountainous area going from Perga to Pisidian Antioch. And it's full of flash floods coming down these valleys. Sort of like what I saw in the news today about Death Valley. Death Valley had 1.5 inches of rain yesterday and flooded out. The parking lot, the car in the parking lot, the water was up to this high. They go, 1.5 inches of rain? Yeah. They only get 2 inches of rain per year normally. And within a couple of hours, they got 1.5 inches. And it's just a raging floodwaters. And the terrain there, the water's not going to soak in. We get 1.5 inches of rain, it soaks in real good here. We're not a problem. Houston, all their underpasses, they flood. But that's with 1.5 inches of rain. So it's Death Valley had this flooding. Well, you got those types of floods in that road going up from Perga to Pisidian Antioch. Some have said that's why John left them. He didn't want to go on that dangerous route. There, we don't know why John, Mark left Paul and Barnabas. We just know that Paul didn't think it was a good excuse because he didn't want to take him on the next journey. Barnabas wanted to take him on the second journey, and Paul and Barnabas separated. Paul took John Mark with him, went one way. Paul took Silas, went another way. But later on in Paul's ministry, he talks about John being very useful to the ministry. Can you bring him with you? Because he's helpful. So whatever disagreement got worked out later. Well, when they get to Pisidian Antioch, Paul does like what he normally does. He starts out in the synagogue. And on the Sabbath, they were having their service. Now, the service in the Jewish synagogue there goes like this. You have a reading from the Old Testament law. That'd be the first five books of the Bible, the writings of Moses, and then a reading from the prophets, and then a teacher would speak. Well, Paul was a great teacher who had learned from one of the greatest teachers of the time. And he had been a teacher in Jerusalem. Barnabas was a Levite. That's one of the ones that was assigned by God to take care of the temple. So they asked him to speak. Paul knew his audience. His audience is in the synagogue. They have heard the scripture every Sabbath. And he begins addressing the audience from where they are. At other times, Paul is not going to do it that way. He learns where people are and starts the message where they are. When Paul is in Athens, he goes to the synagogue, talks to them about the law. But then outside the synagogue, he notices the city is full of all these idols to all these gods. And he starts talking about it, said, you know, in your city, I noticed all these statues to all these gods. I saw one that says to the unknown God. Let me tell you about it. He starts where people are, and he explains from there. And then he goes on, talks about, you know, your poets said this and that. They didn't have a background in the Bible. So he starts where their background is and leads them to salvation through Jesus Christ. Well, he's in the synagogue. They have read the scripture every Sabbath. So Paul starts giving a history lesson. Said, I want to tell you, people, children of Abraham, and those who fear God. So he said, my audience is those who fear God and have Jewish background. You know the scripture. You've been studying it. Let me give you a brief recap. God has chosen the people of Israel. And over a period of about 450 years, he made them prosper in Egypt. He brought them out with his power. Now, they all know all the details, so he's not giving all other details of this. And for 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. And the people who study scripture would know why they wandered in the wilderness. And then God had a plan. He brought them to the promised land, and God defeated those seven nations by his power and gave that land as an inheritance to the people of Israel. And then God set up his plan for leadership. He had a prophet. The prophet was the one that was going to tell the people what God said. That was God's plan. But then the people came up with their own plan. We want a king. Now that wasn't God's plan. But since they wanted things their way, God gave him a king. But the last prophet warned him, said, you know, God doesn't want you to do this. If you do it, what he's going to do, he's going to take the best of your land, the best of your family to be in his army. He's going to make you work for him. He's going to tax you to death. But if that's what you want, here's who God provides. And he gives a stellar-looking tall man named Saul, the son of Kish. And he's the king for 40 years. Now, Saul, son of Kish, didn't always follow what God wanted done. There's one time where God said, go to this city, destroy everyone and all the animals. It's all to stay there to be destroyed. Saul comes back. He's met by Samuel, the last prophet, and said, you know, God sent you on a mission to destroy everybody. destroy all the animals. Why do I hear cows and sheep? Oh, Saul says, we brought them to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. That's not what God said. Samuel tells Saul, because you've rejected God's plan and decided to do things your own way, he's rejected you as king. But he's still going to be king for a long period of time. God chooses David, a man that God says is after my own heart. Now, David was not perfect. David slept with somebody else's wife, got her pregnant, and had her husband killed. You go, wait a minute. That's not a really good example of someone after God's own heart. It's an example of forgiveness. God forgave David because he acknowledged his sin and sought the Lord's forgiveness. He recognized, before you, God, and you only, have I sinned. Paul goes on in the synagogue. He says, God has a promise. He promised from David's line there would be salvation. But before that salvation came, God had a forerunner. His name was John. And this John preached repentance of salvation. Repentance from sin, rather. And he said, there's one coming after me. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. And the one that came after him was named Salvation, Jesus. The people rejected God's salvation, the one he sent. They were blinded to the truth. We just read the law and the prophets here in the synagogue today, Paul would say. But they rejected what's read every Sabbath. It talks about the Messiah coming. He's the promise. But they in Jerusalem rejected. And they had him killed by Pilate. But he's alive. God raised him up. Now, Paul uses the term elevator, raise up, in two different ways. He said he elevated them to the high position, and he raised him, elevated them from the dead. He said that promised one will not see decay. During one of my stops in Israel, in Hayes Great Cruise Lines, I was able to go to Israel and to Jerusalem, and I've seen the sarcophagus, they say, where is David's tomb. I doubt it is the right place, because right upstairs, very conveniently located under one roof, is the upper room, which is more modern construction. It's just around the corner from the very conveniently located church that has Calvary, the tomb of Jesus, the anointing stone, and a couple other places, all under one roof. Very convenient. It's just God had a plan. In AD 70, he had the Romans come wipe out everything. Because people tend to worship things instead of the one who makes the things important. So God, it wasn't an accident God let Jerusalem be destroyed. Nobody knows for sure where anything is. The place is not important. Jesus is important. Well, Paul says, I want to tell you the truth. There's a source of salvation. Through him alone is forgiveness of sins. And it's the forgiveness of sin that keeping the Old Testament law cannot forgive all sins. It's only temporary. But Jesus has come for the forgiveness of sins. Now, don't do like the prophet Habakkuk says in Habakkuk 1:5. And that's where we end our passage today. Look at verse 41. Look, you scoffers, marvel and vanish away, because I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will never believe, even if someone were to explain it to you. Paul is saying, I'm here explaining the truth to you. Believe what I'm telling you, because salvation depends on what you believe. Paul was giving a message to people that knew the background of the Old Testament. And he used the Old Testament to explain that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise. Other places, he's going to use other methods. Unfortunately, most of our society today is ignorant of the Bible. Now, I'm teaching, many of us teach in public education. One of the first laws passed about public education is called the Old Deluder Satan Bill. Says that the reason we want to have public education, we need everybody to read the Bible. Because that old deluder Satan is going to try to lead people astray. So we need people that can read so they can read the truth of the Bible. But we got those people that are trying to block the truth down. You can't read the Bible in school. That's what our founding fathers said we needed public education for. So everybody can read it for themselves. Are you going to believe the truth? God has given us his word. Now, there are different situations. Unfortunately, as I said, most people don't know the Bible, so we can start with other things. Start with that common ground. Tommy can start with Harley's and lead to salvation in Jesus Christ. You can start with construction. You can start with computers. You can start with old cars. You know, Brandon probably knows the answer to that question I couldn't figure out in Sunday school. I'll ask you later. I will find the answer before the day's out. There are all kinds of things we have background in that's common with people. If you're in the plumbing department at Lowe's, you can start with pipes and lead to salvation. You can start with, we need some rain and lead to salvation. We can start with the flood in Death Valley and lead to salvation. Things people understand, you take that and lead it. But you need to know your audience. What is their background? And you get that by talking to them. Now, people in the synagogue, Paul knew the Old Testament. Paul also knew when he went to the Areopagus in Athens, that they were there debating all the latest news from around the world. So he presented it from that way. He knew in Athens they had a shrine to the unknown God. And it's interesting how that got there. You had to come back for chapter 17 of Acts, and I'll tell you how that shrine got there. Interesting and hilarious story. Okay. Start where people are and tell them the truth about Jesus. Because it matters what people spend eternity. Now, we got lunch back in the fellowship hall. You might not go there. You might go somewhere else for lunch. All of you will get lunch somewhere else tomorrow, I think. I don't think we're having fellowship tomorrow. I could be wrong. There could be leftovers. But wherever you are, tell the truth, because there are people there. If they don't hear the truth, they're going to hell. There are two places, heaven and hell. No in between. And it matters what you do with the truth of Jesus. We can't make everybody accept the truth. And it's not our responsibility. All our responsibility is to tell. Oh, we have a red light. Okay. Now, you'll see it when you go better. I asked them to turn the red light on. It used to be that the red light was, we need help in the nursery. But now the red light says, lunch is ready. Okay. Leave it on so they can see what I'm talking about. Okay. And let's bless that meal. Because you know, there's a meal prepared for us in heaven. And we want everybody there. Now, sometimes we don't have enough tables. God doesn't have a problem without enough tables in heaven. There's always room in heaven. Plenty of room. So don't say, you know, I only got three tickets here to heaven. I can only tell three people. No, there's plenty of room in heaven, but people need to hear. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, thank you for your truth. Thank you for showing us how to start where people are, explaining the truth based on what they already know, and leading them to the truth that they don't know about you being the only way for sins to be forgiven. Lord, thank you for this food that's been prepared. Thank you for the opportunity to share your truth with others. Lord, give us more opportunities everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen.